12, Blood Drawn. It says something about you and your life when you only feel alive going into a vampire's lair. Harry shook his head and resisted the urge to mutter something to himself as he appeared in front of the mansion. He was sure that Malfoy would have a vampire on guard at the door, and those sharp ears would pick up his muttering and relay it to their master. Harry did not intend to lie, of course not, but there was a limit to the weakness he wanted to show in front of Malfoy or his flock. Sure enough, the female vampire he had seen several times opened the door and bowed to him. This time, she flowed back to her feet instead of holding the bow, perhaps because she seemed confident that he would actually pass her into the recess of the house. Harry gave her a smile and did so, trying not to feel the frigid aura that extended beyond her body. Not because it troubled him. He had stood much closer to Malfoy, who bore an iciness that was greater than hers. No, he did it because that aura no longer troubled him. And it should. How it should. Harry sighed, rubbed his eyes with the back of one hand, and moved on, walking through the shrouded corridors that he knew well enough by now to have navigated them blind. For a moment, he pictured himself doing that as Draco's mansion burned in a ministry attack, and then shuddered. It was childish to tell himself that nothing would happen if he ceased to imagine it. But then, perhaps, he was due some childishness after this week. "You smell tired." Harry's muscles barely tensed at the voice as he stepped into the throne room. Once he would have snapped to life at the words, a rush of terror and rage ready to power his curses. But Draco could say almost anything now, and after last month, Harry thought he would accept it. Then he looked up as he neared his chair and went still. A man knelt in front of Draco's throne. From the warm tint in his skin and the way his chest heaved up and down, Harry knew he was alive. Draco had fisted one hand casually in the man's hair and had the other resting on the side of his neck, as though seeking the pulse that Harry knew he could smell perfectly well. Harry didn't have Draco's nose, but he could see everything well, since the man was naked. The second thought that flashed through his mind was the wonder about the willingness of the donor, the third to dismiss the second, because Draco knew that draining someone unwilling would make Harry walk away from him. The first was, it should have been me. Draco lifted his head, his nostrils flaring apart, wider than any could go in a human nose. I did not realize jealousy was so sweet a scent on you, he whispered. Harry bared his own teeth and made himself sit down in the chair. There was a reason for this. It was a test, or a plot, or a push of some kind. Harry would push back. I assumed it would smell sour, he said, like spoiled plums, like someone else's blood. He made a show of leaning back in the chair and frowning as though he was having trouble remembering. Or was that a lie, that claim of yours, that you would never take a lover whose blood didn't smell good to you? Draco smiled at him, or at least it seemed like a smile, with fangs fully revealed but mouth not gaping open. When I take a lover, I'll remember your words, he said, but that's rather different than taking a meal, I think. His hand in the man's hair caressed it, The hand on the side of the man's neck tilted, as though he would tear open the skin with his nails instead of his fangs. Harry made himself shrug and glance away as if bored.
"Did you want the report on the ministry now, or when you finished eating?" he asked.
"Oh, I always find it pleasant to conduct business over a meal," Draco said, and pulled the man to his feet and over to the other side with main strength. The man endured it, doing no more than gasping. Harry wondered for a moment if he was drugged or in such a trance state of fear that he no longer knew what was going on. He rejected the idea a moment later. Draco wouldn't want to drink the blood of someone drugged, in case it affected his own reflexes. And the man was too flushed, and, as Harry could see from the way his legs shifted and parted, hard to care much about what was done to him, as long as he got the fangs, likely. Harry looked up at the ceiling and cleared his throat.
"The Wissengamot shot down two new laws proposed this week," he began. "The minister wanted to make drinking donated blood illegal, but the Wissengamot preferred that to the rampage we would undoubtedly have if registered vampires couldn't eat."
"Harry."
The voice floated over to him, curled around him, danced around his senses and muffled them. Like a whale made of dust, Harry took a deep breath and drew in the smell of copper.
"Look at me,"
Draco said and stretched the words somehow, in a way that Harry couldn't define, until they were draped around him like strings of candy floss.
"Tell me that you can endure this."
Harry turned back at the same moment as Draco's fangs flashed, first white, then crimson. The man he held tilted his head back and voiced a long, wavering moan that collapsed into silence at the same moment as Draco began to suck. Harry watched, and Draco watched him back, his eyes never moving from Harry's, even as his hands guided the man's head back and the throat closer to his mouth, even as one of his hands slid down and pumped the man's erection. Harry swallowed. He understood what this test was about now. Draco was showing him how he fed, what he went through, and how he drank, and the teeth and the claws and the blood of it. If Harry could not endure that, he would have a miserable time trying to have...
"What? You know you're not in love with him. You can't call it love. Hermione would be horrified."
Harry bit his lip to keep from laughing hysterically. It seemed strange to sit here watching Draco drink from someone else and thinking about Hermione. And because it was so strange, he let the thoughts fade and watched as Draco stroked the other man, and the way the muscles in his neck corded, and the lash of his tongue as he pulled his head back and clotted the blood, and the way his arms hardly bent when the man bucked against him in climax. The man slid to the floor, Draco gestured, and the female vampire who had attended Harry at the door rushed in, silently snatched the donor and carried him out again, as though he was a child. Draco slided down from the throne. Harry thought it was the most normal he had ever seen Draco look when descending the steps of the dais, the most human, despite the strength the blood must have lent to his limbs, and he rose to his feet to meet him. Draco laid one hand on his shoulder, the other stayed along the side of his neck, nails lightly scratching where they could tear. And at first, Harry couldn't figure out what Draco wanted. Then his breath caught and he swallowed. Of course, this is the way he touched the man just before he drank from him. "Do you think," Draco whispered to him, "that you could do such a thing? And could you stand to see me drink from others when you were dazed and could not sustain it? Because such things would happen, especially in a war." Harry didn't ask who the war would be against. He knew. He pulled in a ragged breath and then shook his head. "I don't know. Watching you do that nearly made me sick from jealousy. Someone else having that. Someone else having you. I don't know." Draco paused, and his eyebrows, which sometimes looked as if they were painted on his face, crept up towards his hairline. "How strange. Most people, I think, would describe that as me having him, not the other way around." Harry thought for a moment of asking the man's name, but he wasn't really interested. And Draco, from the faint smile on his face, knew it. "I don't," Harry said. "I want you, and want to have you, and I don't want something like that happening." He knew he was speaking too rapidly, knew that he was throwing the words away that he had planned to save and hoard and look at like galleons in the darkness sometimes. And he didn't care. "Do you have to feed every night? If you spaced it out and fed well enough and carefully enough, then I could be the one who sustained you, even in a war." Draco stood there with that complete and utter stillness that no human could mimic, and met Harry's eyes. Harry panted back at him, with no name for the emotion that swelled like tears in his eyes or thickness in his throat. He clenched his teeth when he would have asked. He locked his tongue in place when he would have named it, and he waited. Draco nodded, at last, a long, languid motion that looked like the scrape of a polar bear's paw across ice. "I could ration the blood, even yours," he said. "My control is not perfect, but you have tested it and made it stronger than it has ever been. With you to teach me, I could learn to hold back." "From others," Harry said, and pressed against a fragile, yielding barrier like cloth of silver between them. "From all others." Draco's other eyebrow rose to join the first. He leaned forwards and breathed across Harry's face, as if he was exhaling across a mirror. Harry pressed another step closer, and another, and now his forehead, bone covered with skin, rested against Draco's, which felt like marble sheathed in lace. "You ask?" Draco said, his voice a trailing noise. "I do," Harry said, and reached up. His hands hovered opposite Draco's, mirroring their presence. He could move them forwards and touch Draco's. He knew those dangerous marble-colored claws and the pale skin across the palms, and Draco would accept them. Received them as he had accepted and received every gesture Harry had made so far. "I will give," Draco said, "if you do something for me." "Yes," Harry said, "anything." Because he really thought he could give anything if Draco promised not to touch another human like that again after Harry was with him. "Stay with me. Come away from the ministry and the life that makes you miserable, and stay with me." Harry closed his eyes and let his hands fall. Then he moved a step back and stood there, with the silence between them echoing like one of the corridors of Hogwarts, after students had finished running down it.
"You won't,"
Draco said, and his voice was empty. Harry wondered if that was what his tomb looked like after he had risen from it, or had he ever had a grave.
"I can't,"
Harry said, opening his eyes and swallowing, or trying to swallow, the huge ball of disappointment that had gathered at the base of his throat.
I could still do some good if I stay in the outside world. If I come inside this world, then you lose your eyes in the ministry."
"I have some," Draco breathed. "The spies who bring me word of most of the new laws before you come on the 3rd of the month. And those people who long for the money or the pleasure we can offer, and come to give us blood and words. What I do not have is you. What I want is you. Say you will come and be with me, forsake all others, and I will forsake them too."
Pressure spiraled in on Harry, crushed and drove and ruined. He shut his eyes. He could have what he wanted. And he was sure that Draco wouldn't prevent him from seeing his friends, at least not any more than the aura work had done lately. He would have what he wanted and what he was growing convinced he would need in the end, anyway. And the assault that he sometimes sensed growing around him, or thought he did, the rumors he hadn't yet been able to track to their source, the people who shut up when he walked by, they might yet be able to destroy Draco and his flock.
"No," he said, forcing his eyes open against what held them shut.
"Not yet. When I can. When you're safe."
"The last thing I am," Draco said, "is safe."
He reached out a hand and held it in front of Harry, but didn't touch him. Harry appreciated the message of that, and managed to smile, even as a paper-thin knife touched his heart.
"Not yet," he repeated. "Did you hear the second word?"
"The one I hear most at the moment," Draco said, watching him carefully, "is the first."
In the end, Harry was the one who forced himself to turn away. He walked out of the mansion with his head high and his heart burning and beating and brooding in him. He knew something was going to happen, although he didn't know what yet. He knew that not all Draco's spies would find it out, or they might turn. Spies brought with blood or gold might turn the other way. He would be there when the wave broke, and he would shield Draco and his flock from it in the way that only a powerful human aura could. Pleasure was not stronger than duty. Not yet. It did not occur to him until he was out of the mansion and on the starry, dusty street that Draco's feasting in front of him might have been not only scolding and test, but temptation. And Harry only closed his eyes and shook his head when he realized it, slightly smiling.
Thank you.
scene. Blue moon. Potter came late on the night of the 3rd, past midnight. Draco sat on the throne, this time with one leg crossed over the other, and his face worked into a remote mask. He had the leashes of the flock in his mind, but slack, like the leashes of tame dogs. He had fed them recently on blood so thick and tempting that he didn't think they would raise their heads and sniff when Potter wandered through the corridors. He had not fed himself. He did not want to. Dominant vampires needed more blood when they did feed, but they could endure starvation longer. And while he could still drink from the throats of others, they tasted less pleasant now, more metallic. He knew some humans would laugh at that, would say that the basis of all blood was copper and iron, and Draco must have something wrong with his tongue if he hadn't noticed that before this. He knew what they would say. He also didn't care. He sat on his throne and waited, and heard the echoing footsteps of Potter as he came through the dim rooms, all lights extinguished. He didn't move the less gracefully for all that, Draco noted, and he didn't need a guide. Potter came into the throne room and became Harry. Draco wondered if he noticed that transformation himself, noticed the way a weight of water seemed to rush silently off him, as though the entrance of the room bore a cleansing waterfall. Harry lifted his head and found Draco's eyes and smiled a little. The first impulse to leap on him and bear him to the ground flashed through Draco's mind like lightning. The thunder of his self-control followed. He kept still and nodded, but he knew he would need to feed after this, before the end of tonight. There was only one person's blood he wanted, but he could not have it right now. "Lord Malfoy," Harry said. Light movements, no attempt to bare his throat or hide it, although he bowed as he came near the throne. The news must be good, then. Draco allowed himself one sniff of the magic and the blood and the emotion, and then dulled his senses again. You know, the Wizengamot defeated another attempt to make donating blood for vampires illegal yesterday. Hermione gave testimony about how it would hurt human-vampire relations more than it would help. Draco raised his own head. Harry fell silent and blinked at him. He was enough in tune with Draco to notice that he was upset then. Good. "I want to know who's behind this," Draco said. He saw the shapes Harry's hand cut into the air, and knew they should have made those shapes against his skin instead. He bit his own lip, and his tongue licked up his own sluggish blood, which was so poor a substitute that he resolved never to try again. Who hates vampires enough to keep trying to pass these laws, whether or not they succeed? Harry sighed and pushed his fringe away from his forehead, but not as hopelessly as he would have done it last month. He was fitting more and more back into the human world, Draco thought, more hopeful about the state of the ministry politics, more distant from him. "I know," Harry said. "I keep investigating, but everyone leads to chains of dead ends. I have specific names, like the name of the person who attacked me, but either it's someone who's so far up in the ministry they can arrange for others to take the fall, or someone tampered with the paperwork. I think it's a combination of those two ideas, and definitely more than one person working on it.
Draco hardly heard the last words for the buzzing that had taken over his ears. He cocked his head. "You said that only me draining an unwilling donor could cause you to turn away from me," he whispered. Harry looked as though he wished Draco hadn't remembered those words. "Yeah?" Draco slid down the stairs to the second one. He was crouched there, and his muscles were shifting and flowing back and forth, and Harry was watching him with parted lips and slightly extended tongue before Draco began to think that perhaps he was going faster than he'd meant to, that he should wait. "You said that only death could make you turn away from me," Draco said, his voice lowering. He would test now. He could see how close Harry was to him and how close to the human world he had been leaving behind. "So I want the name of the person who tried to attack you, the person you concealed from me. I am going to harm him for daring to harm someone who's mine." Harry's mouth opened further, like a horse testing a bit. Then he swallowed and said, "You said harm, not kill." Draco hummed and bobbed his head. His body was alive with lightning like a strung wire from one end to the other. His hands and feet were alien beneath him, like the feet of a four-legged animal. All he could see was black and green and red and pink, the colors of Harry's hair and eyes and throat and skin. "You survived," he said, when he realized Harry was waiting for an answer from him and wouldn't speak again until he had one. "That means he should survive too. Not well, not without pain, but I will only harm him and not kill him." Harry gave a full body shiver. Draco enjoyed it and stuck out his tongue and dug his fingernails into the stone beneath him so that he might enjoy it even more. "You like that," he said. "You like the notion of someone fighting for you, killing for you. You like it more than you can let anyone else possibly understand. But I understand, don't I? You are at home here." Harry swallowed and nodded. "And I always forget how at home I am here until I come back," he whispered. Draco tossed his head up, but made himself hold back the snarled curses he would have liked to give forth. "That's what your words were about," he murmured. "You would have liked to fit yourself back into the human world and ignore what happened between us here. You thought you could get away from me." Harry nodded. "I told you once before, sometimes it seems like a dream, and I think this time you convinced me it would be better if I could forget how jealous I was when you bit him." Draco smiled and slid down another step. Harry had never asked for the man's name, which was unlike him. Draco wondered if he realized how unlike. Harry didn't want to know the name of his rival, which was fine with Draco, because he wasn't sure he would remember it anyway. But he hadn't made the logical connection after that he wanted Draco for as many reasons as Draco wanted him. Or perhaps he's so used to having to deny his own desires that he doesn't even notice when he does it anymore. "You can have what you need,"
Draco said. I did that as a test to see how you would react to me drinking. It was not only to make you jealous. But some of it was. Harry looked as if he didn't know what to do with the answer to that question, no matter what it would be. Of course, Draco melted to his feet and took a long step forwards. So, now we know what the problem is, how you distract yourself from me and start thinking things should be different or you should escape from me. What do you feel now? Do you want to escape from me? Do you think going back out in the air would clear your head? Harry's face changed again, and this time Draco could see the desire more clearly than he had at any other time. His hunger roared at the bottom of his dry throat. It seemed that seeing the emotion was better than smelling it. No, Draco said and laughed softly. But you think you should want to escape. You don't know how I succeeded in enchanting you so thoroughly. You want to hate me and you can't. It frustrates you, doesn't it? Of course it does. Harry's voice was low. I've never felt like this. I don't know if something has changed, and that means I should be wary of it. Or if I could have felt this way in the past and never did. That makes me want to berate myself for how much I could have missed. Draco came off the last of the steps and reached Harry's side. Don't think about the past, he said. Don't think about lovers you could have had. Come with me. Come to me. Stay with me. Harry this time braced himself as if to resist the pull of the rope. I can't, he said. Not yet. Why not? Draco let his voice curl around Harry the way he would have used a hand on his arm. What is there for you back in the ministry? They tried to punish you by sending you here as negotiator. They tried to kill you. The other Aurors fear your strength, your magic, everything that makes you what you are. Not Ron. Harry opened his eyes and there were deep wells of light. Draco reached out and brushed one nail through Harry's eyelashes, so gently they never blinked. He doesn't fear me. I would let you visit, Draco said quietly. This is not exile, only sanctuary, from the people who hate you, who refuse to understand you. I would still like to find out who's behind this, Harry said and gave him a faint smile. I know he tried to kill me, but I still don't know who put him up to it, and why. He's somebody I don't think would have needed the bribe they could have offered him, being rich enough on his own. Then stay with the ministry for now, Draco whispered to him, his hands curling around Harry's neck. But give me the name. Harry hesitated one more time, as though bidding farewell to something. His innocence, the person he had been, Draco didn't know and didn't care. The important part was that he had the name, when Harry leaned closer and breathed into his ear. Terence Chase. Draco licked his ear in response, and Harry shivered and bit off the moan that wanted to make his way out. Draco stroked his side, his nails sliding up and down.
creating small rents in the cloth but not touching the skin beneath. He was starving. He wanted not to drink from Harry's throat. Not yet. Not if he would go back to the ministry and someone might notice the marks of vampire fangs. But he wanted. And he stepped back and said, "Will you cut your wrist and give me a gift of your blood? 3 swallows only." Harry went still, then said, "The marks. No, wait, there wouldn't be any marks if I cut my wrist and you didn't use your fangs." He smiled as if embarrassed to have forgotten that, but his eyes were brighter than ever and he was trembling, his hands clenched into fists on his stomach. Then he drew his breath in and nodded. Draco slid closer to him and stood there, fingers hovering a distance from his body, as Harry murmured a spell to give his wand an edge and turned his left hand over. The sharp wand slid across the vein. The skin split. The blood came forth. Draco kept his promise. But it was the hardest thing he had ever done in his life, although it did tremble on an exquisite edge of temptation, and he had asked for it. He curved his fingers gently around Harry's wrist and held it to his mouth, and swallowed once, the first time. The blood burned his tongue, it burned his throat. It filled his body with flaming, fiery life, turning his veins inside out, making his heart beat so hard he was afraid for a moment the rotten organ would burst. Draco licked his lips to make sure the heat was gone before he drank again. The second swallow, and it increased the fire and made him hard. Draco swayed forwards and rubbed gently against Harry's hip, while the blood made his body sing. He could hear distant, thin, high sounds, and felt shimmering warmth light up his skin. Yes, it was like sunlight. Draco could see the light when he turned his head, and there was peace in his body where he had thought there would only be riot, only violence. No, the violence came with the third swallow. Draco took his claws from Harry's wrist before it began, which was a good thing, because otherwise he would have cut him open and perhaps not stopped until he was inside him in every way. This blood was pure desire, pure wanting, pure lack. Cutting his body in half, splitting him open, making him long to split open, making him long to fuck, to hold, to gaze into green eyes, to dance through fire, because it could not destroy him when he was feeling like this. He shouted, and the roar made the leashes in his mind tremble, but brought no vampires running, because he didn't want them to come. He wanted Harry to come, of course, and for a moment, when he looked at him and saw the way his eyes shone and the way one hand was balled at his groin, he thought he would. Harry snapped his eyes shut and moved a step away. Draco waited, swaying, wanting to see whether Harry would break his own promise and come to him. Come for him. Come back to him. This early. In the end, Harry whispered, "Until next month, I'm going to have the names by then. Or else I'll stay. Do with Chales what you want." And he walked out of the mansion.
Draco shut his eyes and seized his body in a grip as strong as the reaction Harry's blood had given him. He had fed. Harry's blood was enough to sustain him until next month, when there would be a reckoning. He didn't come, although he could have, with a touch. He would leave that up to Harry. He wanted to come with and for Harry, not apart. We will be with each other. He will see. He will choose.